I need you. And everyone in this place needs you. Whether we know it or not, would you show us our need? And then make us drop to our knees and cry out to you in communion for your glory and our joy. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm preaching the same thing I'm preaching in the church, Rouge Valley, that I pastor. So I'm testing it on you guys. No, I'm just joking. I've practiced it. God's provision has always been the blood of a sacrifice, right from the very beginning of time to the end. In Genesis chapter 22, verses 6 to 8, this is the story of Abraham being tested, going to sacrifice his son. And I want to read just Genesis 22, verses 6 to 8. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. Now I want you to really, before I read this, I want you to see something that maybe you've never saw before. This is a picture of Jesus Christ and God the Father. Abraham took the wood. What's the wood represent? The cross. Took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his. Put the wood. Remember he carried the cross? Put it on him. Placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. What's the fire? The judgment of God. He took our judgment. We got set free. What is the knife? By his wounds, we are healed. He was pierced for our transgressions. God the Father himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham. Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. In Genesis chapter 22, just keep following me, verses 13 and 14. Genesis chapter 22, verses 13 and 14. I'm just carrying on a little farther. Can't read the whole thing. I just want to take bits and pieces. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. And I want you to know, Abraham did not have to sacrifice his son, but God the Father had to sacrifice his son. There was no way out. He had to do it so we could be set free from our sins. Most of the time we look at God, the Lord Jesus Christ, but we forget about God the Father. And we forget about the pain he had to go through, because I have a son. We forget that he really had to go through pain to offer his son. God the Father and Christ. So, God's provision always brings us back to God. God's provision always brings us back to God. And I'm going to talk to you about this. This is what I want to talk to you about. The copy of God's provision, the reality of God's provision, if you're writing notes, and the experience of God's provision. Okay? The copy, the reality, and the experience of God's provision. I need to read this, Exodus 24. again, but I'm not going to read it all because you read it for me, dear sister. I just want to read verse 8. Verse 8 in Exodus 24. It says, Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. And this is the copy of God's provision, not the original intended for eternity. Are you hearing me? This is a copy. And even in the book of Hebrews, in the New Covenant, I love this. Can I go off on a little side note? Can everybody hear me without this thing? Okay. Little side note. I want you to understand something that I learned with the elders board when I was with them yesterday. Truth just comes with the Holy Spirit when you want to surrender to Him. You just let Him have His way. So I'm going to be dealing with the copy and the reality. Anyways, this is a big one. I don't know where you're at with this, but my daughter, she's going to get a tattoo. But it's a powerful reason why. So I don't want to get into why. I think she has a real powerful thing of the area of testimony, witnessing for Christ. She's been through depression, almost commit suicide. But she asked me. Then the Lord spoke to me because I was really, I don't want to hurt my daughter, but I want to make sure I'm on the right page with him. And my son too, because he's really, And God really spoke to me about this copy and this reality that he said to me, this is what he said to me. He said, tattoos are in Leviticus 17 of the law. And that is a copy. Anything that you find in the original or in the reality is in the New Covenant, in the New Testament. And if you can't find it in the New, what is written in the Old, it's not valid anymore. Are you following me, what I'm saying? Because the New, the Apostle Paul, anything he wrote, homosexuality, it's in the Old, but it's in the New. It's still valid. It's still against the law. Tattoos. Or shaving your beard and all that. You read the Levitical law. Well, you can shave. Who cares? It's not in the New. So it's not valid. Are you following what I'm saying? You need to keep this in a perspective because there's so much legalism that can spin you off and lose your joy. So you need to put this in this proper perspective that the copy is a copy, but the reality is in the New Covenant. That's what I want to talk to you. That's why it's not a rabbit hole. It's really, it makes sense what I'm saying right now as you follow me. So in the Hebrews, about that verse I just read, verse 8, where it says it's a copy and Moses sprinkles the blood, here Hebrews talks about it. Turn with me. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 20 to 23. I want to read this to you. This is, he's sharing with you the copy and he's bringing it into the reality. But this is the copy of God's provision. The copy of God's provision. Let me read it to you. Hebrews 9, verses 20. If you're following me, it's okay. If you're not, just listen. It's okay. He said, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you to keep. That verse is Exodus 24, 8. That verse is Exodus 24, 8. Look at how he says it now. In the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and everything used in its ceremonies. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. This is the copy of God's provision. Now, verse 23. This is powerful. This verse, boy, is heavy. It was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things back then to be purified with these sacrifices. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. This is the reality. You see it? Does everybody see it? Nod. See it? One is the copy, the other is the reality of it. He's separating it in verse 23. So I'm dealing with the copy. And in verse, you see, God's provision is in the blood. In the blood. It's always been in the blood. And you know, even in our generation, oh, don't talk about the blood. It's just too gory. Well, this is the way God set it up. The blood is what takes away our sin. It's the forgiveness of sins. The blood. Nearly everything must be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. There's none. You can't be forgiven. You can't be forgiven. And here you go. Here's the question. Why the blood? Why blood? You ever ask yourself that? No, seriously. Have you ever asked yourself that? Why blood? Why something so gory? This is a good question. It's a good question. And I'm going to answer it. If you have a Bible, Leviticus 17, verse 11. This is the answer. This is why blood. Leviticus 17, verse 11. For the life of a creature is in the blood. And I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. And just look at this. Jesus became a man. He became a creature like us. But yet he was God. But he had to become a man so that blood could flow through his veins. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. And when Jesus came, the altar now in the reality is the cross. And so when he was put on that cross, his blood flowed out of his body and it took away his life. When you have no blood in your body, you have no life. And he gave up his life, he gave up his blood so that you could be saved. I don't think we understand the seriousness of the blood of Christ or the blood. When you come and take this thing, you make sure that you understand that this is not some frivol, just something that you just do because it's a ritual. It cost the Son of God his life, all his blood, so that our sins could be forgiven. It's mind-blowing. It's really mind-blowing. None of us in this place deserves this. If I were to put a camera on your life just in the last 2 days, in your heart, maybe even in your actions, it would freak you out how much sin you have in your life. Motive. Just motive. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Somebody should say, hallelujah. Or someone should just jump up and down, man. But I'm still in the copy. It's still a copy. And the blood, why the blood in the old covenant? Listen to this. Why the blood in the old covenant? We understand the blood in the new covenant for Jesus, but why the blood in the old covenant? Listen to this. It's in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter, just turn with Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. If you'll turn with me, you'll see why the blood, why the copy in the old. Not the reality yet. I'm not talking about the reality yet. The copy. Here it is. Verses 3 and 4, Hebrews 10, 3 and 4. It goes like this. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder for sins, of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Do you see why the blood in the old, why it was a copy? Because it was for those Israelites to remember, you're a sinner before a holy God. It couldn't take away their sin, but it made them remember. It was a reminder that they were sinners before a holy God, and they needed somebody or something to come and take away their sin. But it was always on them. They had to remember. That's Bible. That's why it was a copy in the old covenant, to remember you're a sinner before a holy God, and you need somebody to come and take it away. They were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for somebody to take away their sin. But it kept on. Blood and bulls and goats was impossible to take away sins. And it was just a copy. A copy of God's provision. All the lambs that they ever sacrificed was pointing to that one lamb. The Lamb of God. Take away the whole sin of the world. And they knew it. Every time they sacrificed, they would say, I remember I'm a sinner, but I know you're going to bring somebody to take away my sins. Somebody's coming. And the heavenly things themselves were purified by the blood of Christ. The copies were purified by bulls and goats. But the blood of Christ purified the heavenly things themselves. That's why this is the reality of God's provision. That's my second point. The reality of it. The reality. This is why I wanted to do this. You guys gave me something to preach on. You sent me stuff. That's okay. No problem. And I wanted to honor the person who does this stuff. So I thought, this is perfect for communion, isn't it? To talk about this. And I thought, you know what, how we're going to end this thing? I'm not going to serve it to you. I believe John Piper is right about one thing. So right, it's not funny. That people who try and serve God without receiving from Him is idolatry. Because only God can really serve people through us. We need to receive, and I'm going to ask you to come up and receive from Jesus a deeper communion with Him. Oh Lord, I need you. I want you to sing that too. When they come up and do communion, just you. Just sing it. And I want Him to sing and I'm going to sing. And yet I'm going to have this wide open, and you're going to come up and take the blood of Christ and the body of Christ, and it's a portal into eternity, into the throne room of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that His blood is a portal? That's why we fix our eyes and we walk by sight, not by faith. But God is saying, walk by faith. This is a portal. I made a portal. I open a door into my throne room that you can meet with me and I can meet with you. All your sins are gone. Your past sins, your present sins, your future sins, all gone. You believe that? That's true. That's the power of the blood of Christ, because it was an infinite blood. Our blood is finite blood. His was mixed with Godhead, deity. That's why He was the God-man. That's why His sacrifice is so powerful. Our sacrifice is nothing. It's finite blood. You can die only for your own sin. But He died for everybody because His blood was deity. It was infinite blood. And I'll tell you something. When a human being sins against an infinite holy God, it becomes an infinite sin. And we needed an infinite sacrifice to take away our sin. This is very serious for all of us. To really understand, no little sin is little sin in front of a holy God. Everything is infinite. That's why we needed the blood and the body of Christ to get in. And you know what? I'm 56. I don't know when I'm going, but I'm telling you, I'm hanging on to that. And you better too, because this is the only way in. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Pretty powerful that we have it. We have the antidote for the sin of the whole world. I've taken the antidote. I'm clean. Are you clean? You don't touch this. Well, no, you should touch it. Yeah. It's funny about Jesus. Everybody, all the lepers, eh? When the lepers would go, I'm leper, I'm unclean, and nobody would be able to touch him, eh? So if you touch them, you become unclean, am I right? But Jesus Christ, way different. When he touched somebody, they became clean. And that's what happens when we do this. We become clean. We're unclean, we become clean. Because of the power of the blood in the body of Christ. That's why Paul said the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And I'm telling you, if this is boring to you, you have a problem with your relationship with Jesus today. If it's not and it excites you and you feel it in your heart, yeah, then your relationship is hot. Because this should never, ever be old news. Ever. If it becomes old news and boring, you have to go back to your first love. When he saved you the first time. If you were saved. I think the thing that freaks me out most is that there are sins in my life. I don't know, maybe you never heard pastors say it, but there are sins in my life that I can't seem to shake. Are you with me? Anybody with me? Put your hands up if you're with me. If you're not with me, then you're lying. You're lying. Somebody's lying here. Come on. Somebody's afraid to put their hands up. There's things in my life that I just can't shake. But you know the power of this, what I'm speaking, is that when he died on the cross, I really understand that he took away all my sin. My past, present, future, it's all gone. And when I say, God, I'm so sorry I sinned, all he wants me to do is confess it and put it under the blood, and it's gone, because relationship will never be God. It's fellowship that's broken. And that's all he wants to do, is restore it. That's the reality of it. The copy is the blood and bulls of goats. The reality is the blood of Christ in his body. This is the new covenant. In my blood, all the sins are forgiven. Didn't he say that? Take it and remember me. Remember me. We do it once a month. I think we should be doing it every day. What'd you say? Remember me. Remember Jesus. Remember what I did. So the reality, you got the copy of his provision. Doesn't just reminding you. You got the reality. Now it's really done. Now it's, you're in it. I don't know who's saved, who's not. I just know I am. I know my heart. You know your heart. If you're trusting only this, praise the Lord. When you are in the reality, then it moves you into an experience. Are you hearing me? The reality, you should never stay just in the reality, because then you have no joy in the experience. There is an experience here that will blow your mind. It's the communion with Almighty God. He made a portal. He opened it up. He said, you can come to me anytime you want because of the blood of Christ. Angels have to cover their face, have to cover their feet. Isaiah chapter 6, cover. Powerful angels, cherubims, guys that are guarding the throne room of Almighty God. Can you imagine? And they cover. They cover. Never sin. These angels never sin. And yet you and I, sinful human beings, covered by the blood of Christ, can walk into the throne room, the portal, and have communion with God. Is that mind blowing? And the amount is, and this is where it gets heavy. I tell my church, you do not look at yourself, because when you do, you will not come near God. But if you look at Jesus, you will enter into his presence through the blood of Christ. There is something very powerful about putting your faith in the blood of Christ in your heart. It allows you supernaturally. This is not real here. All this is just made by what is not seen. The spiritual made the physical. And we're moving into the spiritual. So when the blood of Christ is applied to the human heart and the sin is gone, it's actually gone. And if you take a step of faith and go near Jesus into the Father's throne room, it actually happens. You feel his presence. That's the experience of it. And many Christians don't do this. They stay in the reality of it. And the experience is where people start saying, hey, you're different. You got joy. And you know, the only place that we get joy is in his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. This is the experience of his provision. The joy of the Lord is my... Can you say it? The joy of the Lord is my... Boy, oh boy, you guys.
We're going to have to come... A few more times, eh? The experience of God's provision is an amazing thing. But I want to read one thing I wanted to read to you to capitalize the copy and the reality, and then I'm going to move into the experience. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, it says this: therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. Here it is. These are a shadow, all the old, of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Colossians 2, 16 and 17. And if you have the reality, here we go. We're going to move into the experience. You know what? There's one passage of scripture Jesus talked about. It looks like cannibalism. Okay? And many people in church history thought it was, but it's not. If you really have the Spirit of God, man. John chapter 6, verses 53 and to 58. I want to read it to you. I'll say a few things, and then we're going to have communion. What time do you finish? What time? 11? Oh, I got a bit more. Okay, good. Okay. John chapter 6, verses 53 to 58. Let me read it to you. Right away you'll say, oh boy, this is heavy. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers, here's the shadow, the copy, your forefathers ate the manna and died. But he who feeds on this bread will live forever. And in verse 55, it unlocks it. Christ says his flesh is real food, his blood is real drink. And what he's saying is this: he's not saying something in the physical realm, he's saying something in the spiritual realm. And what he's saying is he said, in the old covenant, it was a shadow, it was not real. But now that I'm here, my blood and my body, real food, the real drink for you to get to eternal life. That could never do it. Now I'm here. You feed off me, you'll have eternal life. That's what that passage means. It means almost, it's directed to what we're doing today. The blood and the body of Christ. Not just taking it as ritual, but actually coming and taking the wine and the bread and actually saying, Jesus, trust you, I am taking.
taking this and eating it, and I have eternal life. I'm entering into communion with you, the experience of it. That's why it's called communion. You enter into communion with it. I hope today, for the first, I don't know if it's the first time or a long time, that you will come and you will say, God, I do not want just a religious life. I want a relationship so intimate with you through this. He can restore it just like that. But through the blood and through the body, that's the only way you can do it.
And right now, you know what the devil will try and do? He'll say, it sounds good. But I don't think it can happen to you. And now, they testify to Satan as a pastor, the authority he has given me as a pastor over his people. I testify personally as to what the word says the blood does for us. Through the blood of Jesus, I am redeemed out of the hand of the devil. Through the blood of Jesus, all my sins are forgiven. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son continually cleanses me from all sin. Through the blood of Jesus, I am justified, made righteous, just as if I had never sinned. Through the blood of Jesus, I am sanctified, made holy, set apart to God. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, redeemed, cleansed, sanctified by the blood of Jesus. Satan has no place in our minds, no power over us through the blood of Jesus. So, you come and you restore your relationship. And if it's right, then make it deeper. Because there's no joy like it. That's the experience. The copy, the reality, the experience. I want you to come and sing this song. I just want my brother.